Radio Prague News. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has backed the Supreme State Attorney in her dispute with the Justice Minister. The rotation of the Czech unit in Kosovo has started before the Czechs take command of a NATO multinational brigade next month. And the Prime Minister plans to make a gesture of reconciliation towards Sudeten German anti-fascists. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has backed Supreme State Attorney Maria Benešová in her dispute with Justice Minister Pavel Němec. Prime Minister Paroubek said, however, that he does not agree with her statement about an alleged bribery of a commercial TV reporter by the Justice Ministry. The government coalition is going to seek a successor to Ms. Benešová, but it is probable that she will remain in her post until the end of this election term in mid-2006. According to the commercial TV Nova, Maria Benešová accused its reporter of having accepted a bribe from the Justice Minister's spokesman to artificially provoke a dispute between an outgoing straight state attorney and the Supreme State Attorney's office. Ms. Benešová later admitted that she had made a mistake by making such a statement. 80 Czech soldiers have left for Pristina, the capital of the South Serbian province of Kosovo, to begin the rotation of the Czech contingent in NATO's K4 peacekeeping mission in the province. According to the Defense Ministry, the rotation of the 400-strong unit is to be completed on July the 22nd. As of August the 1st, the Czech Republic will take over from Finland the command of the Center Multinational Brigade in Kosovo for 1 year. The Center Brigade is overseeing one of the 4 zones in Kosovo, supervised by the NATO K4 mission. The Czech Republic has been participating in the Kosovo mission since 1999. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has said that he wants to talk about his plans to make a gesture of reconciliation towards Sudeten German anti-fascists with the Austrian Chancellor Wolfgang Schüssel during his Vienna visit on Thursday. Mr. Paroubek said that before he submits the material to the government, he wants to discuss the form of the gesture with the coalition parties, the opposition, as well as the Slovak Prime Minister Mikuláš Zurinda at a meeting in Budapest on Wednesday. The former Prime Minister Vladimír Špidla also considered taking an accommodating step towards members of the German minority who were against fascism during World War II. The Czech Republic's labour market should be reformed simultaneously with the pension reform in order to secure enough jobs for older employees as retirement age increases, Vladimír Bezděk, the head of the expert team working on the pension reform, said. The team has been assessing the alternatives of the pension reform as proposed by 5 political parties since last October. The Czech population is aging and the number of people in retirement age will be growing, while the number of people able to work and contribute to the funding of the pension system will be decreasing. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the end of the news. This is Radio Prague's English service. I'm Dita Siru, and today, the Supreme State Attorney comes under fire after accusing a ministry of bribery. Archaeologists send a probe into a newly discovered over 600-year-old crypt of Charles IV. And of course we have the latest sports news. In this week's Talking Point, how are children treated by their parents in the Czech Republic? Supreme State Attorney Maria Benešová's career may be about to come to an abrupt end because in a fit of pique she made an accusation she may not be able to prove. In a private telephone conversation with a journalist, she accused Justice Ministry spokesman Petr Dimon of bribing TV Nova to air a damaging report about her. Unfortunately for her, the journalist she made the rash statement to by phone was recording the conversation, and its contents were splashed all over the papers the next day. Now the Supreme State Attorney has been asked to back her accusations or resign. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
The clash of wills between the Supreme State Attorney and Justice Minister Pavel Němec has lasted for several months now. Earlier this year, the minister threatened to have Mrs. Benešová sacked when news of charges against the former information minister Vladimír Mlynář were leaked to the press before Mr. Mlynář himself knew of them. Conflict flared up anew when Minister Niemetz bypassed the court and ordered the return of a Qatari prince charged with sexually abusing minors to his homeland. Mrs. Benešová intervened and got the decision reversed. And most recently, the Justice Minister has sent an inspection to the Supreme State Attorney's Office. The inspection was to uncover incompetent employees. It was in reaction to this that Maria Benešová flared up and accused the ministry of being out to damage her office at all costs. It was, to all appearances, a fatal mistake, and the minister is now demanding her head on a silver platter. Her fate is to be decided at this week's cabinet meeting, and the question in everyone's mind is, does she have the necessary proof to save face? If she did, it would set off an earthquake at the Justice Ministry. But although Mrs. Benešová claims to have got her facts from unnamed sources inside the ministry, she clearly does not feel in a position to do battle. In an interview for the BBC, she admitted she'd made a rash accusation and acted imprudently. Although she's got herself into a bind, the Supreme State Attorney is not friendless. Many commentators have taken the view that Benešová is a blabbermouth, but an honest one at that. They point out that her all-out determination to root out corruption and her focus on sensitive cases, no matter who is involved, has not gone down well with some politicians and political parties. Already, some cabinet ministers have indicated that they trust her and will not vote for her dismissal. Either way, the fight over her future is expected to rock the government boat and tax the Prime Minister's diplomatic skills to the limit.
Thanks, Daniela. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Radio Prague. Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire and Bohemian King Charles IV, who ruled the country in the 14th century, has been making the front pages of Czech newspapers in recent weeks. Not only was Charles IV named the greatest Czech of all time in a TV poll, but a month ago archaeologists discovered a crypt under St. Vitus Cathedral at Prague Castle, his first burial place. Now archaeologists have made their discovery public. Martin Mikula reports.
For some time, archaeologists specializing in the history of St. Vitus Cathedral have speculated that there might be a hidden crypt under the cathedral, the tomb where Charles IV was originally buried. Among them is Jana Maříková Kupková.
Tím spuštěcím momentem k průzkumu byl nález archivní dokumentace plánů.
The trigger for this project was the discovery of plans by the architect Josef Mocker. He entered the crypt in the 1870s and generally documented it. Then we understood that there really is something underneath the choir. 4 years of geophysical research informed us about the basic parameters of the cavity.
Dali vědět o základních parametrech dutiny, která se nachází pod chórem.
Since the crypt is under a very exposed part of St. Vitus Cathedral, archaeologists could not enter it directly. They had to use a very special approach, drilling a hole in the floor and plunging a camera on a stick into the underground cavity. They had to be very careful not to destroy the cathedral's precious floor, says archaeologist Milena Bravemanová.
Because the hole was very small, we leave the camera here and we could see what is inside. And now we know that they are the rest from the order coffins, and there are also the rest of some canonicus graves and some archbishop graves. But the remnants of Gothic kings and their relations, they are not here. We surely know that they are on the new crypt, and probably there are some rest from some oldest coffins.
As Milena Bravemanová says, Charles IV was buried here, but later moved to a different crypt back in the 16th century. So today you wouldn't find any of his remains here, or those of his relatives. But the funeral costume of Charles IV's son, Jan of Görlitz, was removed from the crypt centuries ago. Conservationists have now restored it, and since last week you can see it in the Prague Castle Museum.
It was a habit that the king had to be buried in ceremony garment. John of Gorlitz, he was not a king, so he couldn't be buried in a ceremony garment which belonged only to coronated kings. And so he could be buried in a fashionable garment. It was surely prepared for the funeral ceremony. It's clear that it was very quickly made garment, the stitches are incorrect and so on, it has not have lining and so on, but it clustered contemporary fashion, the fashion, we named it Burgund fashion, it was first used on the court of Burgundian kings.
The exhibited costume, together with many other objects related to the history of Prague Castle, are part of the permanent exhibition The Story of Prague Castle, which is open every day from 9 to 5 p.m.
Thanks very much for that, Martin. And we now go to West Bohemia, where one of the country's biggest cultural events has just come to an end. This year, a record 140,000 viewers, almost 20,000 more than last year, watched this trailer that preceded every film screened at the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. Held every year in the picturesque West Bohemian spa town, it came to a close with its traditional award ceremony on Saturday night. The Crystal Globe for Best Feature Film went to Poland's My Nikifor.
Cikałeś na klomb. Tu jest skarga. Podobno ojcem był malarz, co przyjeżdżał do Krynicy.
Gierowski?
Gierowski. O, jakoś tak.
Przecie to Łemko.
Malarz, proszę pana, to był Maczewski.
My Nikifor tells the story of a physically and mentally disabled painter, Nikifor Krynicki, who makes it to fame in Poland, despite living in his own simple world. It was directed by Krzysztof Krause, who also received the Crystal Globe as Best Director.
Bardzo, bo to jest...
I'm very happy about the awards because this film represents five of my most hard-working years in filmmaking. It took just a few months to make the movie, but it took five whole years to prepare and gather the material for it.
To the surprise of many, the role of Nikifor was not played by a man, but a very jovial and energetic 80-year-old woman, Kristina Feldman, who won the Best Actress Award for a performance that the grand jury unanimously agreed was stunning and very convincing.
To jest głos krytyków, reżyserów, środowiska naszego.
This means a lot to me because it is a prestigious award given by film critics, actors and other experts in the field. Such an award helps an actor like me grow new wings to rise again.
Dodaje człowiekowi takiego bodźca do pracy.
But besides feature films, two other categories were in competition this year. The best documentary film, Under 30 Minutes, was a Belarusian production by director Galina Adamovich called My God. Essa Mira from Brazilian director Marcos Prado won the Crystal Globe as Best Documentary Film Longer Than 30 Minutes. The winner of the third category, called East of the West, featuring films from the Middle East and the former Soviet bloc, was the Russian-Austrian co-production Ragin, directed by Kirill Serebrennikov. For a complete list of winners and synopses of the movie screened, please visit the official website at www.iffkv.cz. But it's time now for a look at the main sports news by Ian Willoughby.
Thanks, Dieter. Well, first today we have tennis and bad news for the Czech Republic, whose women's team won't be in the elite world group in next year's Fed Cup after losing 3-2 to Italy in the playoffs. Home advantage counted for little as the Czechs got off to a bad start in Liberec, with Květa Peškeová losing the first singles game. Twice Peškeová lost and twice Nicole Vajdašová won, making it 2-2 on games on Sunday afternoon. The doubles decider, however, didn't go the Czech Republic's way, with the Italians winning 6-4, 6-4. Peshkova and Vaidisheva were picked for that final match, with Vaidisheva taking the place of Iveta Benešová, who had been expected to play in the doubles. Czech coach Tomáš Petera explains his decision.
I decided on those two players not because Iveta hasn't been playing well, but because of how Nicole played in the singles. Iveta hadn't warmed up, and Nicole is in such great form at the moment. Her serving and returns are so good, she can only add to the doubles pair.
Tomáš Petera. And staying with tennis, upcoming Czech men's player Tomáš Berdych gave French Open champion Rafael Nadal a run for his money on Sunday when he beat the Spaniard 6-2 in the first set of the final of the Swedish Open. But it wasn't to be Berdych's day. He lost the next two sets, 2-6, 4-6. And 1998 Wimbledon winner Jana Novotná has been inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island. The Brno-born player earned over $10 million in a 13-year professional career. Rowing, and what a debut season it's been for the Czech Ondřej Sinek. The 22-year-old made a big splash by winning the first men's single scull World Cup race of the season in England's Eton. Sinek has managed to maintain that form, taking gold in the World Cup finals on Sunday, when he came first in Luzern, Switzerland. With just a month to go now until the Athletics World Championships in Helsinki, leading Czech high jumper Jaroslav Baba is showing some fine form. He equaled the Czech outdoor record at Rome's Golden League meeting on Friday with a jump of 236 centimetres. The 20-year-old from Karviná in North Moravia set the Czech indoor record, 237 centimetres, earlier this year. Finally, football, and Czech under-21 captain Václav Svěrkoš could be moving up in the world. There have been reports that Stuttgart are keen to sign the striker, who's made an impression in the Bundesliga in his 2 years at Borussia Mönchengladbach. But that's all the sport for today.
You're listening to Radio Prague's English Service, where Martin Mikula now explores how children are brought up by their parents in the Czech Republic in this week's Talking Point.
With the end of June, the school year in the Czech Republic comes to an end, and children receive their school reports. Many of them can now boast good marks and look forward to 2 months of vacation. But there are also many who are not so happy with their school achievements. Some of them are even scared of severe punishment from their parents, and it is not unusual to hear of cases of children who decide to run away from home at this time of the year. How do Czech parents raise their children? Are physical punishments still used? What are the trends in upbringing in Czech families? Whereas the generation of today's 30 and 40 years old experienced physical punishments quite often in their childhood, today these kinds of punishments are much less common. That of course doesn't mean they wouldn't be used at all, says child psychologist Václav Mertin.
To víte, že se používají, protože jsou jednoduché, rychlé.
Of course they're used, because they're fast and simple. Sometimes you choose physical punishment because it's more appropriate than to discuss an issue for 2 hours with the child, especially if the child is very young. So physical punishment is still used, but I think less than 20 or 30 years ago.
Jana Procházková, who teaches child psychology at the Pedagogical Faculty in Prague, also confirms that physical punishment is used less in Czech families today.
After many years I work with child abuse and neglect syndrome, I must say that this punishment is a little bit less, especially at school years. We have a typical behavior of parents like in other countries, even though we must say that our education is more restrictive and it's more accepted if small babies, especially preschool children, are punished.
Even though physical punishment is used much less nowadays, Jana Procházková is not quite satisfied with the current trends of education in Czech families, especially the lack of interest of parents in their children. What she calls emotional child abuse appears to be a great problem.
Changing situation is about so-called emotional abuse. It was normal in our society that parents were playing with children. And just now, especially 10 years ago and till these days, is less interest from parents because they used to say, we have no time. But I'm sure they have time if they want.
During the communist era, Czechoslovakia was rather isolated from educational theories that promoted extremely liberal approach in the 1960s and 1970s. Psychologist Václav Mertin does not think it would affect Czech families in a negative way.
Možná to mělo i výhodu, že takovou tu tendenci.
Maybe it was an advantage that these trends of extreme liberalization in the approach to children in the United States and in Western Europe in the 60s and 70s didn't affect Czechoslovakia. On the other hand, now, since the revolution in 89, upbringing has been liberalized here, and the dignity of and respect for the child in society has grown. Now you take a child as your fellow, and it's not really correct to beat your fellow, is it?
Even though Czech parents still remain rather stricter than their counterparts in most Western countries, Václav Mertin does not think it is a bad thing.
Já sám to pokládám za výhodné, protože podle přesvědčení, ale nejenom mého.
I myself consider it a good thing. Even according to developmental psychology, a child needs a system to be able to develop. It also involves a sort of consistency and strictness. A child, for example, needs to have certain limits. That kind of unlimited approach when a child doesn't know if he can or can't do something isn't good. And the notion that he discovers the limits himself doesn't seem to be very realistic.
But the limits have loosened and authority has declined. As a consequence of that, many teachers complain that children nowadays are much more unruly at school in comparison to situation 15 years ago. But according to Václav Mertin, we cannot expect children to be strictly disciplined and active at the same time.
Víte, těžko je možné chtít po dětech, aby byly samostatné, aby.
You can hardly want children to be independent and to find their way in the world, and at the same time to go to school and sit there in silence. That's illogical. If we want to raise our children to not be shy, but to become confident adults, we have to start from childhood. Today's children have very good access to information, and they know more about many subjects than we do. So if some schools are like from the times of Maria Theresa, they have to expect some clashes.
Jako za dob Marie Terezie, tak jako musí očekávat, že tam dojde ke střetu.
Every generation, when they grow older, tends to criticize the young about their extremely relaxed behavior. And the gap is even greater after a huge social transformation from a totalitarian system into democracy, like in the Czech Republic.
Podle mého názoru celá společnost je uvolněnější. To by bylo divné, aby.
In my opinion, the whole of society is more relaxed. Even foreigners say that we used to be serious and frowned, but today you see many more people happy and smiling. It'd be really strange if we didn't transfer this to our children. So it seems to me that children are a sort of mirror, and they reflect our behavior, our moods, and our attitudes.
15 years after the fall of communism, Czech society is facing many different challenges. Democracy and freedom have affected all aspects of social life. Consequently, people are becoming more laid back. The young generation especially tends to be much more self-confident in comparison to what their parents used to be like at their age. But even at this time, when freedom is a supreme value, many psychologists point out to the necessity of certain limits as a natural part of upbringing, and so it seems that not all the old methods should be discarded straight away.
And that was Talking Point by Martin Mikula. A quick reminder of our contact information before we sign off. Send us your comments or questions to the Radio Prague English section at 12099 Prague to in the Czech Republic or to english@radio.cz. We also have quite an interesting website, which you can find under www.radio.cz/English. My name's Ita Asiru. Happy listening. Goodbye.
Hodina bývá dlouho trpělivá a potom odbíjí pátá. A tak to zpívám slova mlčenlivá o tom, že pomíjí pátá. Zvonek zvoní, škola končí, po schodech se běží. Novák leze po jabloni a je náhle svěží. Bláznivej den a já smíchem umírám, kdo si mě kára a páni. Já nenabírám, neboť páta, právě teď odbyla, páta, právě teď odbyla,
páta. Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, ondes courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kHz. six heures, 6h27, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.